So tonight I told you I wanted to talk a little bit about why church. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. You know the scripture. All of us have heard it. If not, you'll hear it. Church, especially this crew tonight coming to church on Sunday night, that's a rare thing indeed in the 21st century church. But I still believe in the church. I believe the greatest days are ahead for the church. How about you? And so tonight I want to take a little closer look and just see why church. Hebrews chapter 10, start reading with me in verse 23. Do you have 23? Let's go to 23 if it's possible. You don't? It's okay. Let's do 20. Let me read 23 and then we'll go to 24 in a second, okay? Hebrews 10, 23 says, let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Can I tell you, he is the head of the church and he is faithful. I wanted to just put that one in there. Hold on to faith and hope in God because he is faithful. And now our text says, let us come and consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, and not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord appearing or drawing closer. That is the word of the Lord tonight. That's what I want to talk about, our topic. We can open it up in just a little bit for Q&A and just to dialogue about this. I think it's important. You know, some people don't think Sunday night church is that important, but about the turn of the century, you know, whenever we started having lights, you know, 19th century, we started having lights on the streets at night. Never had night church, but when they put lights, it blesses me, because when they were able to put lights on the streets and brought safety to God's people, they can get to work or to get to church and not be in danger of anything. So Sunday nights became a popular thing to do, and God's people wanted to have more church. I mean, no, more church is not a bad idea. More programs, how many know that's tiring? But more time to learn the word and grow in discipleship and worship the Lord together, that is passionate. That is something that we could get passionate about. So Sunday nights became a popular thing. Today, though, the opposite is true. Sunday night is actually going out. Sunday morning is a scarce indeed. In fact, I read some stats, 400,000 churches in America. The median size of the church is 75 people. Over 100,000 or less than 50 in attendance. So not one county in America has a higher percentage of church people than it did 10 years ago. Isn't that an alarming stat? Because it seemed like there's mega churches on every corner. So the only thing I can figure then, if there's no more people than there was 10 years ago, what happened? They shifted and they just migrated over here from this church to that church. Now we have First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist. How many know we have a Second Assembly? We have a First Assembly, a Second Assembly. We're doing the same thing, right? And so I don't know where they get the name First, but my last church was called First Assembly. In other words, maybe it's right out of the scripture, First Assembly of the firstborn. I'm not sure how they got. Oh, maybe we're the first in town, so we're the first church in town. And I remember I wanted to grow our church. Was only about 30 people in my last community. 30 people. We took it, a young couple and their family. 38. Melissa said 38 people. I stand corrected. I'm not going west, I'm just on a roll. Hang with me, okay? But 38 people voted us in, and I really wanted to grow. And so I thought to myself, if the church is going to grow, I'm going to have to put some effort. I'm the leader. And so I went door to door in my neighborhood, knocking on the door, and I said, hello. And they answered the door, hello, I'm the new pastor here at First Assembly of God, right there on the way out of our neighborhood, just right on the right. All said, I go to First Church. I said, okay, that's good. Well, thank you for your time. Knock on another door. And hello, I'm the new pastor, First Assembly, right here on the corner. And I just wanted to, you know, say I'm the new pastor and invite you to church. Oh, that's fine, sir, but I go to First Church. Well, it wasn't very long. I changed my words. hello, I'm the new pastor at First Church in town. I was like, we didn't know we lost our pastor. I said, I didn't know you went to that church. Anyway, I really was desperate about seeing the church grow. And I think there's a place. How many think there's a place for church in America, in the world today? So, what's that? Oh, it did grow. It did grow to 200 people or more in 6 and 7 years while we were there, because the people had a mind to work. We built something for God there with those people, and the Lord built something for God. But Hebrews is challenging us tonight. The church in the book of Acts, they told us in the Word of God, says that this church turned the world upside down. 12 people that God hand-selected, turned the church upside down. And so I want to talk about why the church exists. Why church? First of all, we exist to bring glory to God. Could somebody give the Lord a clap of praise? Come on, let's give God some praise, some glory. We're here tonight to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And I think many times we've traded in our passion for a program. How many know you can't build anything on a program? It has to be passionate people of God. And I think that's what happened. But the Lord is the foundation. God is the founder of the church. And he initiated that, a people for himself. He called Abraham out, right? And called him to a place. And I'm gonna create a people who are going to worship my name. And from that people, he made a covenant with Abraham and said, hey, I'm going to bless you. So you can be a blessing. Whoever you bless will be blessed, right? And so the purpose was to have a people for his namesake, a priest, a holy nation, a holy priesthood, right? A kingdom of priests. And he calls us out. He calls us out. In fact, that's where the word church comes from the word ek, E-K. Ek is the ecclesia, the called out ones. So he calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So we're not here tonight just because you didn't have anything else to do. How many know you could have got an early start on your weekend? You could be working in the yard. You could be resting. You can be doing a lot of things. But we are here because we come to bring glory to the Lord. Amen? And the gospel is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. He is the gospel, right? His virgin birth, his sin, his life. You know, if you take the elements of the gospel, you can't just pick and choose which one you believe. How many know he was born of the Virgin Mary? That is a very, very serious doctrine of the Word of God. If he was not, we have no hope, because we're all born in sin, as and Jesus as well. But since the Holy Spirit, the seed, was placed into him by God himself, how many know Jesus is both God and man? Is anybody excited that we serve a God who took so much interest in us, so much value, so much love in us? He sent Jesus to be born and then to live a sinless life, right? He knew no sin, but became sin for us, died on the cross, was buried, right? He was buried. How many know he was buried? That means he died. A lot of scholars who are very smart or think they're smart don't think he died. He's buried alive, I guess. I don't know what they think. But how many know he really did die? And he was really buried. And on the third day, how many know he really did come to life? We don't serve a dead Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. Jake was telling me last week, he said he called, and Joanna said that they were talking to a Muslim guy, and the guy, Jake is so passionate and wants to learn all kinds of languages besides Thai. He wants to learn, Arabic. He wants to learn Arabic. And so this guy was speaking Arabic, and Jake's like, teach me something. So the guy said, okay, repeat after me. And Jake repeats exactly what the guy says and then says, what did I say? I mean, no, that's probably not a good idea. Yes, Jake. And the guy said, you just said that your God is dead. How many know our God is not dead? But they believe that Jesus died. What kind of God would die? But anybody here realize he didn't stay dead? There's no other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid, Christ Jesus. He's the foundation. So God's the founder. Jesus is the foundation. We believe in the gospel, right? He was risen. He ascended. He was ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand, his exaltation. He is right next to God. He's making intercession for you and for me. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Amen? And now people don't have to live in sin, but we are chosen by the Father. We have been crucified with the Son, and we have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody glad the Holy Spirit came? Come on, we, the church was birthed when the power of the Holy Spirit was given. And I think we're living in a day that is trying to take all of that away from us. In the last 15 years, the church growth movement has spent $500 billion, and the percentage of evangelical Christians is smaller today than it was 15 years ago. 500, I don't know if y'all heard me, $500 billion. And so some people say it's a big waste, but how many know the Lord's not finished yet? Don't give up on the church. Half of the churches in America did not report one new convert in a single year. Half of the churches. So if there's 400,000, 200,000 churches did not report. Are y'all hearing any of this? 200,000 churches in America didn't report one convert. Maybe they had and don't want to report it. I don't know. But that's what the statistics say. And you know the two great liars in the Bible, Ananias and statistics? Yeah. So don't believe everything you hear. But 3.6 churches are started every day. That's good news. Only 10.7 are closed every day. So we're closing more churches than we're off opening. And then a regular church attendee, don't miss this, a regular church attendee misses 12 to 15 Sundays a year. And 30 to 40% of the congregation will not attend church 2 weeks in a row. That's the condition of the church in America today. Shall I repeat that last one? Because I got a bad response. 30 to 40% of the congregation will not attend church 2 weeks in a row. I'm seeing with my own eyes that if somebody comes once a month today, they think they're really on. They're spot on. And so church is in trouble. Church is trouble. They're anemic, they're weak, and the mission of God is suffering. Can I ask you before I keep going, why do you think the church and the mission of God is struggling today? Anybody? You want to just ask a question? We can go into that, and I can explain to you why we're having church and why we need to turn this thing around. Easy believism. Well, we're making it so easy that there's no sacrifice, would you say? Sacrifice. No requirements, no sacrifice, no commitments. Come as you please, do what you want. How can I help, you know, make it comfortable for you? Don't you think America has turned into the I church? I and me. And so it's almost like marketing. Let me see if I can get God's people to come. I can, you know, I can give a car away, or, you know, if I gave a car away once a week, exactly is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And so we'd have a packed house. We'd also be bankrupt. Yes, ma'am. I can't hear that. The presence of the Lord. Maybe they're looking for genuine, real people. And how many know in church you can find a lot of stoic, a lot of facade, a lot of, you know, hello, but nothing there. So maybe they're looking for the presence of the Lord and a real, genuine people feel. A lot of the churches have brought a lot of the world into the church. And how many know it's becoming harder and harder to differentiate between the world and the church? Out there. So we don't want to judge anybody, right? Just don't judge me. That's the new verses for the day. Don't judge me. But so the fruit of the church, it's really tough to see the difference of what God is making a difference in people's lives. But how many know the church is still there? How many know there's still a remnant? There's still a church. I don't want to bring a negative approach to this. I'm just telling you, these are real facts, real stats. This is really happening, and church people are dropping off. Church is not the number one priority anymore. Why else? What other reasons do you think? Anybody? Okay. The trends are, you know, and I get it. How many know there's a lot of things for us to do? I mean, it is somewhat of a sacrifice. But you know what they called the church in the temple and the synagogue? The house of sacrifice. They came to make sacrifice to the Lord. Amen? It wasn't a place to get, bless me. It was a place to come and give and to get things right with God. And so we went from the first century where you know, communion was an experience to remember what Christ did, to by the 300 years or 400 years later, the fourth century, it became a ritual. Communion is just something we do, right? We went from being evangelistic, giving the mission of God out, telling people about Jesus in the first century, to about 300, 400 years, the third, fourth century, we said, come in. So we built these edifices, these buildings, and we asked everyone to come in. Instead of go and tell, we were saying, come and see. And so then the hierarchy of the clergy, they began to elevate themselves, and the laity just began to depend on the clergy, much like Israel depended upon Moses to talk to God so that they didn't have to. And everybody began to become individualistic. And instead of, how many know, in the church we're supposed to be interconnected, not individual. How many know no man is an island? The church is not the place for us to be individualized, but together, unity, together with each other. So they began to focus on the world and not this world and not the next world. I think Phil said that. So some of the things that have happened, they believe the lie that there's plenty of time left. How many times have you heard that a young person maybe say, oh, I'll go to church when I get old and bored and nothing to do. And all I got to do is just go to church and sit there. I mean, no, church ought to be more than just getting up and enduring the hour. Yeah. There ought to be some things happening in church. And so they have fallen for earthly treasures more than heavenly treasures. And they become satisfied with praying for the harvest instead of praying to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So the Lord had a request many years, 2,000 years ago, right? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Here's what I found. When I got saved, I just got connected. I got involved in the church. I didn't just attend church. I became part of the church. I was part of the family. If something needed to be done, I wanted to be there. And I think that connectedness is what helped me sustain the joy of going to church. I couldn't wait to get to church. How many couldn't wait to get here tonight? Don't raise your hand. It's embarrassing. But some of you's like, my wife made me get in the car. I just can't. But the church believes that the Holy Spirit today believes that the Holy Spirit was sent to bless us instead of equip us with power to do the work. So it's quite a bit. Yes, ma'am. Transformation. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I think that Jess was saying. Easy believism. So you just say a prayer and go home and live your life apart from the church. And I'll just to come on Sunday, show my face. Everybody thinks I'm good. And then I'll see you next week. Max. Ignorance of the word of God. How many know that is a result of lack of being together in God's house? So the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you need to make it a point. You know, do not neglect this. This is a high priority. There's value in attending the house of the Lord, right? Because that's where we gain some of these things. We learn to hear the word of God. Ignorance of the word of God is for real. And I don't know about you, but I love the Lord and I want to be with him. I think Nancy said they may be longing for the presence of the Lord. Go into the house of the Lord and there's no presence. Well, if you take away the Holy Spirit and add a program instead of a person of the Holy Spirit, how many know there's no passion there? There's no presence there. So there's no reason. If we're going to do is come together and play cards, how many know I'm not interested. I can stay home and play cards all by myself. But if you're coming together to learn the word and to grow as a disciple and make a difference and do the mission of God and worship and exalt the Lord and be valuable part of the family and love each other and be together, those are lots of reasons, right? So Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, who's there? The Lord is there. I mean, every time we gather together, the Lord is here. The psalmist said, man, I was glad when they said unto me, what? Let's go to God's house. Does that sound like a neglect? I mean, the people of God couldn't wait to go to the house of the Lord. And the Lord made it a point. Keep the Sabbath holy, right? Honor the Lord, honor the Sabbath, because that's his day. And he gives us a whole week. He asks for one day to honor the Lord. Now, you can go into theological debate about whether that's Saturday or Sunday. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You still need one day. Still one day to put down your priorities and pick up God's, right? So the writer of Hebrews, I don't know who you think it is. It sounds a lot like the Apostle Paul. But he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so much more as you see the Lord approaching. What do you think that means? As the Lord at the end, okay, at the end, we should be going to church more, not less. Does anybody agree with that? And much more, don't neglect it even more, because the Lord's coming soon and we need to be strengthened. And in the day ahead, when things are getting darker out there, how many know the church needs to be getting stronger? And so I want to be a good example, right? So it's a good reason. Ephesians 6:4, and the fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A new friend that just joined us recently said he lives close by here. On Portland Street, Portland. He said, I brought my daughter over here. She loves children's church. She wants to come to church. How many know that's a good thing? A generation wants to come to God's house. And that's a smart daddy. That's a smart daddy that said, my child wants to go to church. I don't know much about Oak Grove, but I'm going there. My daughter loves it. He's already talking about membership. And so, listen, the Lord is here. And we are the house of the Lord, and we should be ordering the steps in this house to set a conducive atmosphere for people to grow in the Lord, to learn the word, like Max just said. So we should be examples of what a godly person looks like. How many know the church should be different than the world? It's nothing magical. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they might what? See your good works. Look at this. That they might see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father. So now watch you catch that. They're looking at you and glorifying him. That's a good picture of a healthy church. They look at you and they give glory to him because you're a reflection of what God desires to be in the house. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. He's saying we should be the church. It's time for the church to be the church. Amen? We should be the church. And so it's important that we get this because a lot of people are missing it. Just like I'm missing some of my notes, but that's all right. I don't know where they went. But the fact is that we are called together to be the church that exalts the Lord, that sets a good example. And at the end of the day, I would like to have a good, clear conscience. How many desire to have a clear conscience before the Lord? Listen, the pastor doesn't have to stand up here and preach. You know whether you're neglecting the Lord or not. I mean, it's good to have a reminder every now and then. How many know that preachers preach good preventive maintenance churches? In a healthy church, it's good to preach truth, right? And that way we can be reminded of the scriptures that say challenging us, make church a priority. And in fact, it's really making the Lord a priority. We come together. Behold how good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. So some people might be turned off by the church today because of the lack thereof of unity. If this brother hates that sister, how many know that's going to be hard to bring glory to God in that kind of setting? And you can walk into a congregation and sense disunity. And you can walk into a congregation and sense these people are together, right? We are, and we have to stay that way, right? And so God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things, and our hearts do not condemn us. We have confidence before God. 1 John 3:20. Look at this. We have confidence before God, and whatever we ask of him, receive, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. The reason I believe there's favor upon Oak Grove is because we're walking in unity. We're doing keeping the commandments and doing what's right by the Lord. I think we're honoring the Lord. Nobody said we're perfect, but how many know if you do what's right, the Lord will put his blessing upon the congregation, and we can be an attraction to the world, right? And I don't want to backslide. Anybody here want to backslide? Do you know, I never met anyone that just tells me straight out, you know, Pastor, I just feel like I want to backslide. You know, I don't really want to serve the Lord. I have been serving the Lord 35 years. I haven't seen anybody just say, you know what, I give up. I just want to backslide. Yes, sir, son. Major judgment. People have been judged before they ever have a chance to get straightened out. Come on now. They call that prejudging. So that's prejudging, which we extend the word as prejudice, prejudice, and favoritism. And I'll hang out with who I like, and I don't like you, I'm not going to hang out with you. How many know you can't have unity if you choose, pick and choose who you want to be with? I'm glad that Oak Grove is a church for all people. All people. And so, yes, that's one of the deterrents that causes people to actually backslide. People have been turned off in such a way. Now, some people use it as an excuse, right? All those church people, they're nothing but hypocrites. Well, listen, I'd rather go to church with them than hell without them. Because we really don't know where they're going. So 2 Peter 2:20, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus, they are aligned or entangled in them and are overcome. So the last date has become worse than for them than the first. These are backslidings. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to having knowing it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallow more in the mud. That's how it happens. Prodigal son thought he was smart. I mean, we think we got this figured out and we really don't need church. And I hear people say it all the time, you know what, Pastor, why church? I don't really need that much church. Well, you know, maybe you don't, but maybe the children, they need to see you. Maybe it's about a priority in your life. Maybe it's just something about you valuing that. Because if you don't value it, mom and dad, listen, grandma and grandpa, if you don't place a high priority, how many know the generation below you is not going to place a high priority? So let's say you just forget Sunday nights. They're going to forget Wednesdays. And Sundays. You see that? It's just a natural downward spiral, which here we are 2,000 years after Christ. And the idea is that Jesus is coming someday. The church is not effective. I don't really think I need to go. I'm very busy. Culture has changed. I've got lots of thousands of excuses and reasons why I don't go to church. But how many know it? The Bible doesn't change. Here's another good reason for me. I want to go to church because I love my church family. Come on, how many love your church family? See, there's more love on this side. Looks like y'all are not together. I don't know. There's a whole lot of pews between y'all. I'm teasing. Don't make me rope off a whole nother section. Please don't make me do it. You know I'll do it. I will do it to get you together. If I have to tie your tails together, I will. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A genuine love in the church, I think. And also, I don't want to rob God. When I go to the house of sacrifice, I give my tithe to the Lord. How many know I want to obey the Lord? Where else am I going to give my tithe if I don't go to the Lord? It might be another reason why people don't want to commit to church. If I don't go to church, I don't have to pay my tithe, right? And I can keep that little 10%. Can I tell you how much trouble you're going to get in with that little 10% you keep? Hey, if just give it a try. In fact, I'll test you the other way. God said, try me and I'll bless you. I'll say, don't do it and see. See what happens. You'll be trying to fix your air conditioner and your washing machine and your car will be broke. Your life will be broke. How many know without the Lord, we're in trouble. And I'll say, without gathering together in the Lord's house, we will slowly just isolate ourselves until we have no accountability. You know, some people don't attend Oak Grove because we have accountability. Did you know that? Some people can't handle it in the kitchen. So they say, you know what, I want to go to a big old church where nobody knows whether I exist or not. And that way I can just come in and go out and nobody knows whether I'm good, bad, or ugly. But at Oak Grove, how many know I got your number? Listen, folks. 17 years ago, you should have got a preacher. How many know there's a difference between a preacher and a pastor? A preacher will preach to you and don't care what you do. But how many know a pastor will hound you until you stay on the straight and narrow? That's the difference between a shepherd over your soul, watching over your life, and that's the difference between a healthy church and a hireling, somebody who's just preaching. And so, also at church, I feel needed. I feel loved. I feel needed. I feel like I'm a part of the body. Anybody agree with that? These are reasons why we have church. I feel like I'm a valuable part of the body. I feel needed. I mean, I know you can get along without me. Gino thinks Chrissy preaches better than me. I get it. You missed that, Max. Did you miss that? I asked Gino last Wednesday. He said, don't forget Chrissy's preaching Sunday night. I said, okay, Gino. And then I asked a dumb question. Do you like Chrissy's preaching better than mine? To which he replied, yes, sir. I was like, okay, Gino. There went your balloon. That's right. You ain't getting no more balloons from me, buddy. I feel needed. Hold fast to confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I feel challenged when I go to church. When we have these settings of dialogue like this on Wednesday nights and life groups or in Sunday night lives where we talk and learn from each other, I feel challenged. I leave church challenged because I'm not the only one speaking. Other people have some valuable things to say. And then it helps me satisfy my spiritual appetite. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I am in a state of contentment, but I'm never satisfied. Do you understand what I'm saying? Contentment with godliness is a great gain. So there's always more. How many say, Pastor, I can learn more? There's always more for me to improve. I can always be challenged. I can always grow. I can always learn. And look at 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, putting aside all malice or anger and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander, it's a lot to put aside, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. I think it's God's idea that we continue to grow and develop as believers, right? And then I don't want to displease the Lord. I want to be where the Lord wants me, and I want to grow. Any other reasons why church? We're here to motivate people to be happy about coming to church. There's some churches, and I was telling somebody this week, a lot of pastors are feeling pressure because the number of people coming on Sunday nights is dwindling. Sunday mornings too. And so it's dwindling. If we're not tickling the ears and making everybody comfortable, let's get everybody cushion recliners, you know, like the cinema you see at the movie theater. They're shutting cinemas down because they don't recline and bring them food. How many know that's America at its purest form? Bring me food and let me recline while I watch. Can you turn it up? Turn it down. It's too hot. It's too cold. Goodness, would you like me to cuddle you while you watch the movie? What is going on? I mean, no, that is serious business. And America, because of the almighty dollar, how many know American pastors and leaders are coddling and cuddling instead of preparing them to be disciples? And they're becoming anemic and weak instead of strong and victorious. And the first wind that comes, how many know it's going to blow down the house? They won't be able to stand in the day of trouble. So we can't be fueled by the flesh. It doesn't honor God, right? We have to be saved to work. I'm saved to serve, not to be served. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. So we live to make disciples, okay? The gospel needs to be known all over the globe, and we want our Savior to come back for his people. And we know in our Revelation study, we know that in the end, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth, right? Because the angel will fly in the second heaven and preach the gospel to everybody in the tribulation. We remember that. But also it has a responsibility for us today. I mean, we should be preaching the good news. We should be sharing Jesus. We should be sharing Jesus. You know, if my church wasn't healthy and such a beautiful place, I'm not sure I would want to invite anybody. But I don't mind inviting. How many's ever invited somebody to Oak Grove? A couple of you. Listen, I don't mind inviting somebody to Oak Grove. I think it's a great place. I think you're healthy and you're beautiful. I think you're strong and you're vibrant. I think you're passionate and kind and gentle and compassionate. And if somebody came, I think you would treat them right. So I think we have the goods. I just think the culture don't want what we have. Let me say that again. I don't think the culture wants what we have to offer. But that's not my problem. I mean, no, that's their problem. So here's what churches are doing today. We're trying to change what we offer to appease the culture and displease the Lord. Hey, when it comes down to it, Oak Grove, I'm not willing to displease the Lord to please the culture. And that's what's going on. So why church? To exalt the name of the Lord, to bring glory and honor to him, to give the word of God to the people, to disciple people. Let's share the word so others can receive it. Amen? Let's make disciples. He didn't call us to be an audience of spectators. I feel like we all should be involved in this thing called church. I can't wait till October 7th when we get on a parking lot over there. It's called Oak Grove Gives Back. It is an exciting day. I think we should do it every Sunday. But hey, once a year is okay. I won't freak you out. It's a lot of work that goes into that. But we should show the word for other people to follow. A biblical community, a biblical mission, they're inseparable. The people of God and the mission of God are inseparable. We come together to worship God and we depart to serve. So that when we get people in the house, they have an opportunity and create an environment conducive for them to come to Christ. We got about 10 minutes. Let me close this up. In the church of the New Testament, right when the Spirit was poured out, Acts chapter 2. They had all things in common. They broke bread together, right? They had communion. They had a community of believers. Unity is in the word community, right? They communicated the word of God to each other. They had unity, and they broke bread together, and they went from house to house in fellowship, right? They worshiped the Lord in prayer. They prayed together, right? And they preached the word unashamedly. So they shared, they taught the word, they spent time together in the word, they discipled each other, they served so that eventually they were able to turn the world upside down. And just a short time, I said just a short time, they evangelized that part of the world. So I say let's go everywhere to unreached people groups overseas, to underreached people groups right here in Greene County. Did you know there are unreached people groups right here in Greene County? And then there are never reached groups that never ever heard, never reached. And we need to do missions. I'm thankful for missions convention coming up. But everyone involved in everything. And it's such a beautiful thing. Reach is on our platform. This is not another thing. I did an acrostic for you to know what reach could mean. I think it's real people. Come on, real. Anybody here real? One of the things I love about you, Oak Grove, is that you're genuine. You're real. Real people. Engaged. E. Engaged in ministry. We'll have next week, is it? Or 2 weeks, the Ministry Expo, where new families come in. They can go to the tables, see how they can get engaged in ministry, get involved in Oak Grove Gives Back. We are real people engaged in ministry and adoring Jesus. How many know we come here to worship the Lord together? You could have worshiped the Lord tonight at your house by yourself. You didn't come together. How many know there's something special when God's people come together to worship the Lord? There is an individual anointing, and then there's a corporate anointing. And I think when we worship the Lord together, that's where the gifts of the Spirit start moving and manifesting, like this morning. Was the Lord here this morning? Come on now. Was the Lord here this morning? You bet he was. And he spoke, and he visited us in a corporate setting so he can speak to us. Listen, that is a sign that the Lord is pleased with you, that he should show up and visit our church. And not only should he show up and come to church, Jesus came to church this morning. How many believe he's here tonight? He shows up in our midst. That's a good sign. How many want the Lord to keep showing up? Then don't pull all the shenanigans and foolish things that some of the churches are doing today. You can run the glory of God and grieve the Holy Spirit and get him out of here quicker than you can imagine. He's not into that. He wants your life, right? He wants all of us. And so adoring Jesus. And see, coaching people to serve. I mean, we create an atmosphere for everybody to get involved. Serve the Lord with gladness, coming to his presence with singing, right? I mean, I think even if worship was the first part of the service, I mean, no, that is a participatory thing. We are all here to celebrate Jesus. Is anybody happy about Jesus? Say, I am, but I just don't want to worship with you. Well, stay home. Send your tithe in. No reason to come. You heard what I said. Stay home and send the tithe in. We don't want you to totally, you know, y'all ain't helping me out tonight, but I'm just saying. You can give online. You can give online. How many know some people give online, watch TV, and don't worry about church? So our culture made it convenient for you not to go to church. Our culture. Did you know why they made synagogues in cities outside of Jerusalem? Because not every poor person could travel to Jerusalem. You understand that? So they created a church in their town where they broke bread together and took communion, and house to house. They started in the houses. Then they made synagogues, places of worship to come. And that's where Paul went when he went to other parts of Asia Minor. He went to the synagogue. That's where they were. If they had no synagogue, he went by the riverside. How many know it's good to plant churches? But the churches we plant must be Christ-centered churches, not culture-centered churches. And I think we're having some issues. The trendy trends are affecting us. And finally, H, reach. H means we're here to heal broken people. I'm glad. You know, Oak Grove is, like I said, not a perfect place. If it was, we messed it up 17 years ago when we came. But it's not perfect. But there's some things about what we're doing that makes church a wonderful thing to attend. And not just attend, but to be a part of. We are Oak Grove. Chrissy, come on back. We got 10 minutes before 7, and then we'll go have some pizza. But are there any questions, any comments about why church? And maybe we'll talk about this more in detail later and more in depth. It's hard to talk about such a big topic, but God has called us out for a purpose. How many know we have a purpose? And without the church having a purpose, a missional purpose, they're really not a whole lot left. Yes, sir, Mr. Exactly. Absolutely. And it ought to look a little bit like heaven, right? It ought to taste a little bit like heaven. Hallelujah. If they don't know, how many thinks it's our responsibility to let them know? It's our responsibility to let them know. And I want to appreciate Justin. Is he up there? That guy gets on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever other kind of thing he can get on. I think he must be standing on the corner with a sign. I don't know what he's doing, but Justin's getting the word out. He's getting the word out through social media. But that's nice, but you have to get on social media to get the word. How many know there's still the best way to communicate is word of mouth? Word of mouth. Some people go online, they look online, they come into a new community, look online. Oak Grove pops up first. How many thinks that's the favor of God? Why does Oak Grove Assembly pull up first? Because God is good, right? I didn't do that. I certainly didn't pay extra for it. The Lord's just good. And people come, they see that we got some things going on that can bless children, bless youth, bless seniors, bless the whole family. So get the word out. Get the word out. Let's share Jesus. Anybody else? We have a great future. Yes. Yeah, we watch church on TV. Why do I have to go to church? Yeah, they say that. It's an excuse. What I say is there's something about being with God's people. And you know what else I say, Mike? Whenever you go into the hospital and you're sick, call that guy on TV. See if he's going to come visit you. Oh, y'all don't want me to get going here. I'm feeling it. Y'all, I was about to close, but y'all stirred me up. You're messing me up. Don't mess me up. Yeah, you call somebody. Yeah, call that evangelist. See if you'll be at the hospital next week. You'll be dead before he shows up. So the church has a great future. God is sovereign over the Great Commission, but we have a responsibility to fulfill it. I want tonight for us to give a blank check to God with our lives. A blank check. Here's my life, God. Fill in the blank. Here's my life. I surrender to you. Give him a blank check with our church. Oak Grove, here you go, Lord. Here's Oak Grove. Do what you want. I mean, say, do what you want with us. We are Oak Grove. and then to lose our lives accomplishing his mission. If you want to win your life, you have to lose it, right? To receive it, you have to give it. So let me read this quote, and we'll have you stand with me. I want to read so you can hear good. When you're standing, you might be able to hear better. World evangelism is a divinely ordered goal for every Christian. Not only is it attainable, it is inevitable. How many know the Lord's going to build himself a church? Whether or not we believe it, someday the gospel of the kingdom will be heard to the ends of the earth. The God of the universe will not be defeated in his purpose or his promise. Any activity not in step with the design for human destiny is an exercise of futility. The sooner we realize this and align our way with his, the sooner we will be relevant to eternity. I don't want to be so earthly relevant that I'm not eternally relevant. And I'm not willing to give up the word of God for the flesh of man. We may not get big. I don't know. But maybe, just maybe, when the church, when the culture gets tired of fake church, like they're tired of fake news, when they get tired of fake church or pseudo church, they might look for a place where there's a genuine bunch of people who will pray them through and raise their children in the kingdom and do the mission of God. Come on, give the Lord praise. He's worthy.